I did start playing it with Stella, which was very interesting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, I rushed to turn the nudity and genitalia sliders off as fast as humanly possible. But she's so interested, and it's got split screen on PC, too. So I was like, let's give it a shot. So we started playing. She created her character. What's crazy is, like, that opening, and she watches gore. She sees violence here and there. But, like, that opening's pretty rough with the brain. I forgot about the brain.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that she was going to be really traumatized by the talking brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get there, and I let her do it, and the brain just starts being creepy as it's like, free me, friend. And, like, usually I kill the damn thing, but Stella is like, I'm going to be super nice to this brain, this talking brain. So she gently pulls it out, succeeds all of those, it plops down on the ground. I'm like, this thing is going to grow legs and creep her right the fuck out. No, my friend. She is super attached to the brain. She's absolutely beside herself that I told her that the brain is only with her during the tutorial section of the game.
Oh, no.
And she's named it Brainy. And she loves the creepy little fucking brain. And I keep trying to explain to her. I'm like, look, kid, D&D isn't like real life. Like, there are monsters that just want to kill you, and the only reason this thing doesn't want to kill us is it thinks we're one of it, even though we're not. You get that, right? She's like, no. it likes me because I was nice to it. It's that simple. So, so Brainy. I did, however, find out from Phil, apparently if you manage to keep the brain alive during this tutorial section, you can find it later and, like, have it walk around with you and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, well, maybe we can find it. It's not until, like, Act 2 or whatever, but yeah, you can find the same one again.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have chosen for whatever reason to listen to another Horrible Gaming Podcast, but I'm not alone. Usually I'm never alone. With me once again is...
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
Hello, Neil. Welcome back. Welcome back. Neil was not here last week because both of our wives celebrate their birthdays on the same day. So I just did a quick recording with Monsieur Grandpa Gamer, Jeremy.
And thank you very much for that because he is very entertaining.
He is, and he does not listen to this show, so he's not going to get your thanks. But I'll tell him offhand. He doesn't like listen or watch any of our shows. It's hysterical. But you don't have to. It's not good. I'm not upset when people don't. Yeah, I know you don't. You should.
Don't.
You shouldn't be off
the
hook. I
do sometimes.
But yeah, thanks to Jeremy for joining in. He was very entertaining. I will say there was a couple of times he said a thing that existed or had already happened, and I was like, That's a thing. It's already a thing, man.
Yeah. And, to be fair, I only got part of the way through the newsy bits, so if there's going to be some overlap.
Might be. If there is. Yeah, I was about to say, you don't come here for quality. You come here for quantity. That's what we have here. All right. So, with that, all that said, we got to thank the people that makes this possible. First, behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a fancy custom graphic that's provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, the theme song for this show and all of the shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother, Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. We're going to be right back with everybody's favorite fan interaction.
Horrible Gaming.
Ladies and gentlemen,
podcast.
That brings us to fan interaction. That is where we, the co-hosts, read for you guys all of the comments that you post. And for the first time ever, our fan interaction is now going to have a rule. It is going to have a rule. Yes, it is going to have a rule. Please do not post entire songs to the comment section of our YouTube. Please. Because I have not made this rule before, I must read this comment. But it's definitely an entire song. So from here on out, I will not be reading any comments that are just the lyrics of songs from start to finish. But nonetheless, Jason says to us, "Oh no, won't pretend I didn't see you roll your eyes at my gaming tea. Don't know if you can read or if you've seen the sweet piece in this week's Weird Wired magazine. The latest trend has hit its peak. They say the geek's becoming chic. So now you're out of style. As you can be, I'm in vogue. So you can bite me. To all the asshat jocks who beat me up in school, now I'm the one that's cool. I'm the one that's cool to all the prom queen bitches thinking they still rule. Now I'm the one that's cool. I'm the one that's cool. Try to cop my style, but I'm the real thing. While you played sports, I played Magic the Gathering. Never earned your spot, your part of my nerd society. My Aquaman pajamas proved my pedigree. Watched my next gen every night. Wore a headgear to fix my overbite. Your black rimmed glasses are prescription free, whereas me, I literally can't see my hand in front of my face. To all the asshat jocks who beat me up in school, now I'm the one that's cool. I'm the one that's cool. To all the prom queen bitches thinking, oh, I had to scroll there for a second, thinking that still rule, now I'm the one that's cool. I'm the one that's cool. And to my eighth grade crush who pushed me in the pool, now I'm the one that's cool. Now I'm the one that's cool. You may be tan and fit and rich, but you're a tool, and I'm the one that's cool. I'm the one that's cool. Role reversal must be a total drag, but there's no point. No point for me to humble brag. I appreciate you for being cruel. I'm burning bright. Thanks to your rejection fuel, got my in-jokes you won't get, like Honey Badger, Trollface, and Nyan Cat. So now your ballin' parties seem so dumb, you can't invite me, and I'll say yes, but I won't really come. Got my comics, got my games, and the things you thought were lame. Got my cosplay fanfic too, got you pegged. To all the asshat jocks who beat me up in school, now I'm the one that's cool. Now I'm the one that's cool. To all my prom queen bitches thinking that they still rule, now I'm the one that's cool. I'm the one that's cool. And to my eighth grade crush who pushed me in the pool, now I'm the one that's cool. I'm the one that's cool. You may be tan and fit and rich, but you're a tool, and I'm the one that's cool. 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 No more song lyrics. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
There's so many levels of dedication in this. Like, look, dedication for posting it, dedication for reading it. Is this a real song?
I'm sure it is. I'm not familiar with it. It sounds like nerdcore rap, but I'm not familiar with this specifically.
So much dedication.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure.
Respect for the craft.
I'm sure it's there. I'm sure it's there. But I am now making the call from here on out. If you post full song lyrics, like start to finish song lyrics, I will no longer read them. We only have so much time in a day. So from here on out, that's the rule. I didn't make that rule before now, so I read it. From here on out.
Now it's the rule.
Now it's the rule. Now it's the rule. It's the rule. The single rule of interaction so far is no full entire songs posted in comments. Jason then continues, I love awesome graphics, but A, I am not obsessed with how awesome graphics are in a given game. B, some graphics just need to not have Some games need to not have awesome graphics for various reasons. Parentheses, well, they don't need super realistic graphics. They can still be awesome in other ways. You know, we've had this conversation. many times. Jeremy was all across the board on graphics when we talked about it. It comes down to it to me, if you make a game that's cool, that's good, that's fun to play, that gets me involved, I don't care if it looks like Pong. I don't. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I like graphics too. I don't want people to think that, like, I don't like to look at the pretty stuff, but I don't care about the pretty stuff, you know? The most fun stuff that I play in games, 9 times out of 10, just aren't pretty. They're not meant to be pretty. It's an engaging game that is fun for me to play, you know? So there's so many ways to do graphics and stuff. I think that, like, the industry puts such a heavy emphasis on graphics because they have to convince you that it's important, because it's the only thing that they really have to guarantee from these next-gen systems, right? Like that's what they can promise from systems. Like, they can't promise good games because the good games are on the writers and developers of those said games. All they can promise is it'll be really pretty when you're talking about a system coming out. And I think they put too much emphasis on it because the cost of those things keep going up while the reason to have them keep going down. The graphical breakthroughs become more and more incremental as years go on.
Yeah, and I very much enjoyed that conversation, by the way, about graphics and everything.
It was interesting.
Because, yeah, it was very interesting. I think my personal, when I think about, like, graphics being at an acceptable level, like I've said, I'm a sucker for sprites and pixels. That also said, it depends on if it is a conscious design decision. So let's say somebody wants to make it, this primarily is like a 3D thing, an issue, but let's say somebody is making a game, 3D game, 3D models, everything like that. If the majority of your game is super high res, high detail, and your character models do not match that, unless it is uniform in, like, let's say all of, like, your items and enemies and stuff like that are that low poly against that high res, and it's an intentional decision, that's fine. But when you start getting into, like, the weird stuff that we see anymore occasionally, where you look at your character models and everything in the world, you know, being so amazing, but then you run up on a tree in an open world area and it's actually just a 2D cutout effectively that when you move, it just spins while you move. So it doesn't, like, change how it looks. That looks like shoddy work to me. Overall though, it really does come down to the game and how it plays. Graphics and everything are always going to be secondary. Performance is the graphics and frame rate and everything. I know I've made a big to-do about frame rate in the past, but honestly, it really only objectively matters in shooters and fighters. Outside of that, like, 30 frames a second is just fine for a lot of other things. Baldur's Gate 3, whenever you run it in split screen, it runs 30 frames. Now, whenever, let's say, Kayla and I are playing together and she's in a conversation and I want to listen in on it, it seamlessly flips over to the full screen running at 60 frames.
Yeah, it
totally
does.
Fine. It's great. It's fantastic.
Phenomenal.
That's totally fine. There's some things to expect, especially like when you're running a split screen game. Like, you're not going to have the whole thing running at 60 frames. Sorry, it just ain't happening. Yeah. It's not a deal breaker a lot of times, though. It's when it's shoddy work that really makes it kind of feel cheap.
I see what you're saying. I agree. I think when you're, like, broadcasting something that's supposed to look really good and then you can find little, like, corners cut, you know, it's a little bit crappy. On the frame rate thing, yes, we have differed on that quite a bit. I think at the end of the day, though, we're at the upwards limit of frame rate. You know what I mean? However much it mattered to anybody in the past, we're at a point where, like, I mean, take aside the argument that 30 frames per second is fine for any, just fine. 60 frames is the max that matters, you know? Like anything more than that, you're really not getting anything out of it. Because you can't see that well, you know? I think that, like the quality of it is no longer really noticeable after 60 frames. And I think that's the big thing for me. And personally, as far as the tree goes, as long as I can tell it's a tree, I don't give a fuck what the tree looks like. As long as the game is good, you know? And we're in agreement on that. I know that. It's just the quality of the game needs to be good. Period. Like, it needs to do what it's supposed to do, and it needs to do that without a ton of extra bullshit and glitchiness and crap. And that's another thing that I hate, is you get these games that come out and they're just buggy train wrecks. They're buggy train wrecks because they're trying to do these insane graphics with them, you know? And they're not buggy train wrecks because of the gameplay systems. They're buggy train wrecks because of the graphical stuff. You look at Wild Hearts, and Wild Hearts looks to be kind of dying now. And when it came out, the big problem is it was a buggy fucking mess. The game itself was good when you got to play it without the bugs, but it was a buggy mess. Why was it a buggy mess? It had nothing to do with the gameplay of the game. It had to do with them trying to make everything look pretty. I think that, like, that's one of the big problems I have with graphics, is you have these companies that, like, they're trying to make things look pretty to the detriment of the actual games themselves, you know?
Yeah, honestly, the easiest way that I can think of to describe it is, think of what you're presented in a vehicle. So let's say you have a vehicle that's a couple years old, you know, nothing wrong with it. It's just older. It's dated. But that thing runs pristine. It gets you to and from work. You don't have to worry about it breaking down at all. Cool. Good golden and gravy. Let's say it's a brand new sports car, but it was in an accident. Well, it's a sports car. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, we can put some work into it and it'll run just fine. Well, what about now? Well, it's misfiring. The exhaust is hanging off.
Right.
Somebody put water in the gas tank. Like, you know, there's work. There's work that needs done. Okay. Well, what do I do now? Well, maybe you can drive that older shitty car. Yeah. So, like, we're being sold broken things.
And it's even worse because we're not allowed to fix the thing. We've got to wait for somebody else to get around to fixing it if they decide it's worth it.
At the shop, and they're like, well, we got 3 weeks before parts come in.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's okay. But then is it going to be completely fixed? Well, I mean, the sound that you're hearing in the engine is going to go away. It's still going to be misfiring. It's still going to be run like crap. Okay. Well, you know, then it's not fixed. Yeah, that's probably about 6 months away. Got to get those parts in.
What you really end up asking yourself at the end of the day is, why were you selling the car in the first place if it was just fucked up?
And that's the crux of what we get at so much with everything in games anymore is, why was this put out?
You know, it comes back to that whole thing with Baldur's 3 and everybody saying, this isn't the bar. This is the bar. That's what's decided. Do you want to know who decided that? The bar decided it, because the bar is whatever the best thing out is. You don't get to decide it. You don't get to say, oh, that's not the bar because it had more money to do it or it had more time to do it. No. It's just a bar. You can either choose to measure up to it or not, or try and measure up to it in a different way. You know, these game companies are just like just constantly floundering with this stuff. And it's like they never take serious what people actually want nowadays. You know what I mean? Right. They're all stuck in a 2000s mindset, right? Because in the early 2000s, I'll even cop to it. All I cared about was how pretty something was. And that's because you were coming off of PlayStation 1, early PlayStation 2 graphics, where, let's face it, you go back and play, it's like Roblox characters, but not quite as good, which is weird. Like, the early 3D graphics were absolutely terrible back then. So, like, you were looking for those new graphics. You were excited because you wanted the 3D experience, but you wanted it to be prettier. And it's like all game companies got locked into that mindset that, like, everybody just wants the graphics, you know what I mean? We're well past that now. Nobody gives a shit about the graphics. Minecraft has been one of the most top-selling games for the last, you know, fucking 5-10 years. That game is blocks on blocks. Like, make good games. That's what people want. They want good quality games, period. But we got to move on. We're talking too much about this. Jason then goes, Batman died once, and Grayson and Todd both took on the mantle and fought over who would be Batman. But that was an alternate universe, or Batman wasn't really dead, or he was brought back to life, or something because comics, parentheses, and money. Yeah, I mean, it's all money. That's why I can't do comics anymore. Comics never move on. They don't have a further storyline. They don't, like I said, I know that you said this comment, but still, I find it stupid that Batman has five fully grown adult children that he's raised of different ages spanning 10 years, and we're still supposed to be, he's like mid-30s. Like they never actually progress the story, and Marvel's even worse with that, because when they're doing a Marvel movie, they reset the comics to number one every time a new Marvel movie comes out of the same character. So you only get like 30 deep, and then it's a reset of a new number one. It's terrible. You can never get anywhere in those things. So, yeah, so I can't do comics anymore. I just can't do them.
Especially with the prevalence of multiverse stuff now. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, multiverse isn't anything new, of course. But now that, you know, DC and Marvel are both, you know, knee deep in that, I just don't understand, like you'd mentioned, like why you can, sure, let's do a reboot, let's do a reset, but change up the beats, not just the art style, or make it be like a sequel thing. I think it's just like movies and games. Nobody wants to take a risk on anything because they're worried there won't be money.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so moving on, Jason then says, I don't even need to play new games. I've been playing Fallout 4 with Sim Settlements 2, Fresh Robot Parts, and Rise of the Necromancer. FO4 is ancient in video game time. That's true. I mean, hey, man, I go back to Skyrim still. Skyrim's over 10 years old, and I still will fire that one up and play a new one. I don't think there's anything wrong with new games, and I think if new games come out, they should be quality, which, I mean, we do a show about new games. I do tend to have to play some new games just for the review stuff, for content. Got to feed the content piece.
You make it sound horrible. I have to play new games. But honestly,
sometimes it is. Sometimes it's real bad. It's like,
in the middle of me saying that, it was like, I'm over here saying a joke, but it's like actually kind of legit. Like,
dude, we're playing a show on Redfall. I wouldn't be doing Redfall if we hadn't promised to make a show out of it. I would have deleted that a long time ago.
Still going.
Yeah, it's not always fun.
Since May.
Yes. We're gonna finish it. Eventually.
Damn it.
We can grind all the stupid underboss skulls. Fucking stupid game. Alright, continuing, Philbilly jumps in. If Starfield ends up being good, it will be solely because of the modding community. Again, I don't think Starfield is objectively bad. I just think it's mediocre. It's mid in wrestling terms. Yeah. It's mid-card stuff. It's just fine. And really, for how much hype it got, that's really the problem, right? Like,
right.
This is just okay. If Starfield had come out the way it is and it had come out, well, with less bugs, I'll say that. But if Starfield had come out and it had been some, like, indie developer, like, or even a smaller developer like Obsidian, who hadn't been hyping it up for the last, like, fucking 10 years, I think it would have been good. I think it would have gotten a lot more hype, you know? That being said, it's not an achievement. It's nothing, like, phenomenal. The big problem is this thing is billed as, like, the greatest game ever made, and it's just fine. I didn't find it that entertaining. I won't say objectively it's terrible. You know what I mean? Because it's just not. I've played Redfall. Redfall is terrible. It is a terrible game from start to finish. This game, it's playable. It's fine. There's entertaining things about it. I will say everything that is fun about Starfield, you eventually get bored of or realize isn't as fun as you thought it was to start with. Which was my biggest problem with Starfield, is I got really into it at first, and then the more I played, the more I was like, oh, this system is restricted in a way that I didn't see right off the bat. Now that I see it, this isn't as fun, you know? Like, even the ships are kind of paint by numbers when you realize what you have to do to make them flyable, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's been about a month since I've played Starfield, yeah. So I mean, if that's any indicator,
it's off.
But that's
my hard
the thing
drive.
Is like I don't hate it. I didn't dislike it. I think from my time with it, it was one of those things to where I think it needed more training wheels for a little bit longer to really get you into it, because you have your opening mission and they, you know, the usual Bethesda. Hey, champ, go out there. The world's, or the universe in this case, is your oyster. Right. And it was fine enough, but I keep coming, like, they didn't really tell you anything about, like, conditions on planets. They throw all these crafting things in there, like, hey, play around and figure it out.
Yeah, this is, do whatever.
What was it, Todd Howard? I think it was. It was either Todd Howard or Pete Hines. Somebody said that Starfield was meant to be played for many, many, many years, which that's fine. But I don't think that's necessarily what the fan base of a Bethesda game was looking for. Well, a game being designed to be played for years, or a game that naturally is playable for years are two totally different things.
Well, I think, you know, you take something like Skyrim and you make it like you can play Skyrim for years, you know, like easily.
It's playable for years.
It's playable for years, yeah. With Starfield, I don't know. I felt so much more restricted, as weird as it is, and all the space that you had in Starfield. I felt so much more restricted in the choices I made and the things I did in Starfield than I did in Skyrim. You know, which is kind of crazy to me. You know, you're like, Bethesda used to be so good at choice, right? Like it was never really great at, like, super in detailed stuff, but you let your imagination fill in the blanks. Like, even with Skyrim, you could marry, what, like 10, 12 people? But the marriage wasn't like, there wasn't any scenes or anything. You just
super mean.
Yeah, you just you just got married. They lived with you, and that was nice. Like, and you let your imagination fill in the blanks. There was a lot of stuff like that with the bad guys and stuff in Skyrim. With this, it's like they went out of their way to take out the special things about that, which is the letting it fill in with your mind. And instead, they railroad you into doing things you wouldn't necessarily do, which take you out of the character to start with. There's a lot of stuff with the pirates and other stuff that, like, you don't have the freedom you have in a Skyrim. You know, you don't have the freedom to do what those things. And what's crazy is, you know, I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3. And Baldur's Gate 3 is a narrative, a very, very written, heavily written narrative experience. And there's more freedom in that narrative experience than there is in all of the 1,000 planets of open world stuff that Skyrim, that Starfield puts forward, you know, and that's what's crazy to me. To me, that means that Bethesda's truly lost sight of what made Bethesda games special, which was that freedom. Fallout 4, same thing. Like, it gives you that freedom to play the game the way you want to play it. And Starfield just felt like it was like an illusion. You know what I mean? There's all this stuff, but if you don't go to it in the right place, whatever, it doesn't really. It's not really fun, you know? Whereas Skyrim, Skyrim, you do the opening mission and you pick a direction and walk in it and you're going to find a story, you know, that you're going to be able to interact with in any way your character wants to interact with it, you know? Whereas
it's almost like the scope is too large.
Well, it's not even just the scope. It's how they restricted your character. Like, the story, they overwrote it. Is what I feel they did. They overwrote the story. There's too much story there for what they're trying to do. It's like, you're free to do anything, but we're going to write you into a corner of doing these exact things if you want to really enjoy the game, you know? At that point, just craft a narrative game, you know?
That's true.
Then you won't be as buggy and shitty.
Yeah.
Moving on, Philbilly then says, the VTT, Virtual Tabletops, and yes, they are huge. I play on one with Wiz, Owlbear Rodeo. I actually played Foundry when we were doing the Star Trek game. I don't have a lot of experience with those, though. I just don't. So I don't use them for mine. We're lower tech.
There was one that I was going to use years and years ago when we were going to try to get the buddy of mine who got me into D&D to begin with when I met up in college in Connecticut. He was trying to get me into one there. I forget what it was called, but that there, like, it was so cool because you could, like, actually, like, whisper to the DM in the chat to where you didn't have to, like, speak in the in the actual chat. So if you wanted to ask them something without, like, putting out information to everybody else, it's almost like actually having a side conversation. Nice. It was really cool. I cannot remember for the life of me what it was called, though.
Moving on, we got William Hulun. Hi, exclamation point. Not knowing where to look is one of the biggest reasons why I almost never put my face on camera. On TMNT, still on a binge. I'm now on season 3 of the 2K3 animated show and just read Shredder in Hell. Was way more mystic than I thought it would be and felt not smart enough to understand the thing. For my off topic, I played A Short Hike with my daughter. It's a cute short game where you play a penguin that needs to climb to the top of a mountain. It's like 2 hours long, but it's a lot of fun. Many NPC to meet, still, and some little challenges. Fishing, boat ride, treasury, hunting, etc. It's quite the cozy game. I really prefer 2D sprite games than early PlayStation 3D graphics. Oh, we just talked about that. There's not even a contest there. As for Netflix games, on mobile, it's very easy. You just download the game you want, say, let's say Oxenfree, and then when you start the game, it's asking for your Netflix credentials, and then, boom, you play the game. There's no, like, Netflix app where the games are. It's just the games are on the App Store, Google Play, like any other games. Thanks for the show. Cheers. Hashtag 2D games rules. 2D games can be very fun. Very fun.
By the way, I look into my own eyes.
Oh, yeah?
When we record. It's funny you bring that
real,
up.
Real narcissistic of you right there.
Well, I don't know where else to look. That's the thing is, because I just see a gray fucking box because of how you record with OBS.
That's true.
So I don't see you. I can't, like, look at you like I'm engaged in a conversation.
Yeah.
Because if I'm looking at the box, I would be looking over here because that's where it is on my screen.
That's fair.
But I figure it's just better if I just look at me, because then it looks really awkward if I look directly at the camera.
Look, we're not here for quality. We've said it many times. I mean, now I wear glasses, so there's just a reflection of my screen in the glasses at all times. So, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the way it is.
I got that anti-glare coating. It still glares a little bit, but...
Asylum 66 says, side-scroller boop, boop, boop. Love it. I'm sure that's a comment that I don't remember. Then Backdraft jumps in. BG3 might be the best RPG of this time, which Philbilly330 said confirmed. Actually, we almost did our talking point about why BG3 is the best game of all time, but Neil pointed out that we can't possibly do that without Philbilly on the show.
I would feel too bad. I couldn't do it.
I understand. I'm completely in agreement, so I'll have to set up that show at some point. And then Backdraft said, how much XP do we get for listening to Jeremy? This is an inside reference because I know Backdraft in real life. So Backdraft, I'm going to tell you this. If you remember to remind me when we play the John Wick game again, I'll give you an experience point. Because everybody deserves an experience point for listening to Jeremy. And then Backdraft finishes off by saying, can't read the note on my cell. And what is Jeremy doing here? This isn't his spot. Jeremy was there, as we said previously, because Neil and my wife both share a birthday on the 22nd, and the 22nd this year was Sunday, which is our day for recording, and we both had incredibly busy schedules. I had an absolutely terrifying schedule for the week leading up to that. So I just did a quick show with Jeremy before we started recording our normal wrestling show. So that's one of the longest fan tractions we've ever done.
I think it is. It's like almost half of the show already.
we're going to jump into our talking point, which is basically Sony screwing people over.
I mean, we're just going to be, we're just going to grump.
I don't think it's going to be too long, honestly.
It's not going to be too long, no.
We'll be right back with some.
I mean, honestly, do you want to just go into the odds and we just start that, or the newsy bits, and just do that? Because that's where it came from anyways. We'll just start with that and just do it.
Yeah, sure, I guess. I mean, I was gonna say it's gonna be some good old-fashioned old man game grumpiness, but that's fine. We could just do the newsy bits.
It was gonna show up anyway, so.
All right, we're gonna do the newsy bits then, guys, and then we're gonna call an audible.
How it
just
derailed everything.
Just in the middle of halfway everything. Through the show.
It's like, hey,
let's just change the entire plan on air live
right now.
Yeah, we're gonna do the. We'll be back with the news.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Excuse me.
Jesus.
Hello! We are back with our final
really
segment.
I hope you open it like that.
No, I'm going to cut out of
it that way. Just like...
Now I have to. Now you've ruined it.
Now you have to, or else there's no context. You're welcome.
Welcome to our final segment, I guess our only segment today. That's the news. We collect smaller news headlines, and we tell you about them, we riff
Super
about them, we let
dump.
You know. Neil's got a ton because he missed 2 weeks, so I guess that's what we're doing. I've only got three, but Neil's going to start us off with the one he wanted to talk about in the first place. Go, Neil!
All right, Sony's dumb. case closed.
All of them are dumb.
That's it. That's the whole news. So we talked a little bit ago about the whole PS5 Slim attachable disk drive thing, how it kind of already sucks anyways. I mean, it kind of gives people options, though. And there was one little extra bit of information that came out in the past week that really kind of turns all of this on its head. So in the end, if you were to buy a PS5 Slim and the disk drive and the stand that now is sold separately, you're basically, I believe it was $80 or $50 or something like that, more expensive in the end for the same exact console that has like 175 gigabytes extra storage in it. Not super great, but it gets even worse from there. Apparently, the disk drive that gets installed onto that PS5 Slim has a very interesting requirement, and that is an internet connection for the installation of the disk drive. Already sounds weird. However, there may be some people who are technically inclined who may already be seeing the writing on the walls and get a bit frustrated because they haven't said so directly. They haven't made a confirmation as to why this is, but there's really only one single solitary reason to have that console connect to the internet for the installation of the disk drive. And that is for a serialization of that disk drive to that console to permanently marry them together so that you can't sell the disk drive in the future. From there, it does open the door to one Sony PS5 servers go down. You won't be able to authenticate that disk drive anymore, which means no more disks for you and your console, digital only. So good stuff all around. Fun times. Yay. PlayStation.
Really, this is basically like you can have your disks, but you can't do anything that you couldn't do just by buying a digital. It's basically what they're saying here. This is almost a waste of our time at this point, right? Just go digital at this point, right?
Yeah,
like, what the fuck are we doing
here? It's a hostile action, is what it is. They're already charging more, same exact crap. Sure, it's slimmed down. Okay, fine, cool. Sure, it has some more extra storage on it. I would love extra storage on my PS5 because there's been a couple times where you have to delete stuff to install stuff. Totally get it. Understand. I'm too cheap to buy an NVMe to expand it. So I would love the extra storage, not the extra, what was it? $50 to $80. Mm-hmm. And then to be held hostage by a piece of hardware with a digital handshake.
Well, and the whole point of having a disk drive is to be slightly less reliant on that internet, you know, software, you know, that connection. And you're right, it does feel hostile. It almost feels like, oh, so you gotta have a disk drive? Well, fuck you. This is how we're gonna do it. And it's unnecessary. I think hopefully people realize this and we see more information about it, because I think this is a terrible move. This is a worse move than just dropping a disk drive altogether. It really is. Yeah. Because with dropping a disk drive, you're just like, hey, we're just not going to do that anymore. It doesn't make sense anymore. And we'd kind of get it because it doesn't. Yeah, really, at the end of the day, we're past disk drives. It sucks for us old fogies, but it's true. Discs just don't matter anymore. Really, in any sort of media whatsoever, like, DVDs are obsolete at this point. Video games are obsolete with discs. Like, it's a digital world. That's what we're living in. So, I would, like, fine, okay, it sucks, but that's what you're doing. This almost feels like a real fuck you to anybody who wants a disc drive. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Seems unnecessarily egregious against people for, like, why?
And what's more beyond that, it's funny because I'll go with one of my other ones too, just because it's Sony related. So right after that came out, there was an announcement too that, hey, you know, PS5s are fully stocked for the holiday season. So go on out there. You should probably be able to find this year, finally. You're not going to get it at a discount. It only took 3 years and a hardware refresh announcement to get to this point. But hey, yeah, you can finally buy one, like, on the reg. I don't understand, especially because they've already announced, too, that now that there's availability for these consoles, that these consoles that are available, once they deplete the stock of these ones with the built-in disk drives and the digital versions, the slim with the disk drive attachment is what the norm is going to be moving forward.
Yep.
So I don't understand.
So why aren't we getting a discount at this point? We're 3 years in. I think also you're staring down the barrel of an undefeatable foe in Microsoft right now. They just beat the shit out of the FTC. And basically that also kind of means they beat the shit out of you. Because you were fighting so hard for that FTC. So now they've bought Activision. They're going to stop giving you Call of Duty and every other fucking thing they don't want to. This is not the time to be like, fuck the people who don't want disc drives. And we're not giving any discounts 3 years in. And we're, you know, stuff like that. Like, this is the time to be really pandering to your fan base. Because you need that support going forward. Like, this is so counterintuitive to what the market for gaming is demanding that it's just absolutely stupid, in my opinion. And it just goes to show what I've been saying for, at this point, a couple of years. Sony has completely lost touch with the gaming industry, its fan base, and how to sell games to its fan base. And it's been resting on its laurels of just being Sony for a long time, and that's no longer enough, you know?
Not even no longer enough, it's no longer option.
Yeah, it really isn't.
Something at this point, like, it's weird because we poke fun at Nintendo, but it works for Nintendo just doing Nintendo's own thing. But it's weird because, like, Sony is almost like the Wario in this situation. Because they're trying to do their own thing, too. And it's all just shit that doesn't make sense. Like, with all the different, like, the headphone thing. This here with the console. You remember at the PlayStation 4, at the tail end of its life, they put, they made a back button attachment that did, like, nothing. Like, this is the sort of stuff. They're going to have a fucking handheld come out that doesn't actually do anything unless you're at home. Like, it's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
The stuff that they're doing, the stuff that they're thinking is, like, stuff that people want, or they're trying to give people things that they want, but only what they want people to have.
Yeah.
They're more focused on how they want things to be presented.
All right.
Gone are the days of like the PSP where they're trying to directly compete. It's like they're doing what Nintendo does in the opposite direction.
Yeah. And I'll double down on that. I think when you look at it, Nintendo and Sony side by side as companies, Nintendo is throwing stuff at a wall. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but they're constantly trying new things. They're trying innovative things. And those things are usually generally aimed at what they believe their consumers would like, right? Mm-hmm. Sony's trying stuff, but everything they're doing that's a bad analogy. Like, Nintendo's trying new things to try and find new consumers and new people who would play it, or to try and find new things that people would enjoy. Sony is doing what they think that their consumers like, and they don't know what consumers like anymore. So, like, and no matter how much you tell Sony, we don't want that, they just do it anyway because they're like, yeah, you do. We know you do. We know you want that back button. We know you want that handheld in your house. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, every innovation that Sony makes, they never ask, should we? They just go, they definitely want this. And they're already so out of touch with their fan base, with the average gamer walking around the street, that, like, they miss the point. And this is the problem. Like, whereas Nintendo, I feel like, is more in touch with their fan base, more in touch with what they actually want, and yeah, willing to take some risks, but those risks are less born out of ignorance and more born out of experimentation. I don't like Nintendo. We all know my thoughts on Nintendo. But if you put those companies side by side, I would say Nintendo is successfully innovating, while PlayStation is trying to spit gizmos at you that you don't want nor ever asked for, you know? And that's really the difference. I think that, like, it just goes back to what I say about them being just out of touch. They have no idea what their fans want, you know? Mm-hmm. Or what any gamer wants.
Right. So, did you want to go with one of yours?
I can go with one of mine if you want.
Go ahead.
Because I might take a couple of years away. I've got some weird ones here. I've got two Spider-Man 2 ones, so can I just knock those out?
Go ahead. I don't have any 2 ones.
All right, so I know what you're thinking right off the bat. And Spider-Man 2 has a serious issue with it. I don't know that it's been fixed yet. There are people who have purchased Spider-Man 2 and cannot play it. It is a 36% install bug. You can look this up. But some players have just noticed that they put in their Spider-Man 2 into their Sony. It installs to 36% and then just stops installing. It's unplayable. Even if they uninstall it, reinstall it, they've said they've actually gone to the store, bought new copies, like exchanged a copy for another copy, bring it home. They get this 36% install bug. So it's got to be something with certain PlayStation hardwares.
Yeah.
They don't know, but it's a real fucking weird ass bug where you just cannot play the game right now.
I wonder if it's something to do, because I learned something a number of years ago. Whenever console makers manufacture the hardware components for their consoles, they don't always necessarily have the same components, even if they're built at the same time. Perfect example, a buddy of mine in college, his Xbox 360 disk drive died out. So he bought a new one and it didn't work. Come to find out, there were two different hardware manufacturers for the drive. You had to have the right one. I almost wonder if it's something to do with the BIOS software or something in there.
It's highly possible. I think it's very strange that of all the games that have come out, Spider-Man 2 is the one that is having this issue. Yeah. So, like, I feel like there's still got to be some mistake here on Insomnia's, like, side, because there's no other recorded instances of this happening, you know? Like,
yeah.
While the hardware thing I see, I see that myself too. I'm like, there's, if you're trading the game in and getting a new game, there's got to be something on the hardware, right? But But at the same time, like, if there's something on the hardware that every other game gets right, why can't Insomniac get it right, you know?
Yeah.
So there's somebody dropped the ball there. And yeah, I'll just go ahead and do my second one. Because if you're a fan of Spider-Man 2, I know what you have been thinking, okay? You've been just like, you know, I want to play this game. I can't wait to play this game. I'm excited about playing this game. You know what I really want? I want a box of Wheaties with Spider-Man 2 on the front. And I'd be willing to pay upwards of $70 for that box of Wheaties with Spider-Man 2 cover on that face. Well, guess what? Congratulations. There are limited edition series Wheaties boxes going out full of Wheaties for $70.
Stop.
I'm not even, you can look it up.
Let me clarify something then. Okay. Clarification question. So this is, of course, a box of cereal.
A box of cereal. Yes.
With Spider-Man 2 logo on it.
Yes.
Does this not contain the game?
I don't believe so. I think you just pre-order the Wheaties. Like, you have to specially order the box of Wheaties, if I recall correctly.
God, people are fucking stupid.
It's insane. Like, what blows my mind is, what are you saving a box of Wheaties then? Like, I know cereal's pretty insanely, like, storable, but you're just going to keep a box of food forever? Or are you going to eat it and then eat $70 worth of cereal in two bowls? Like, that's insane to me.
There's some things out there, like, collecting things, I get it. Like, you know, maybe things become valuable later or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I am a collector of crap, as you no doubt can see behind me.
I got my fair share of crap.
I get it. And I will collect the crap. That also said, I never was one of those people who would buy the can back when they had the Star Wars on all the cans, all the different cans of Pepsi products. Yeah. Granted, when I was a child, I kind of kept some of the empty cans briefly. But I, as a grown adult, am not going to seek out unopened cans of pop.
Right, right.
I'm not going to buy special edition gummies for something that are going to sit and rot. And I'm most certainly goddamn not going to buy a box of Wheaties that costs almost the same amount as the goddamn game and just have it sit on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's insane to me. Just absolutely insane to me. What people will buy as collection. Well, the other thing is the whole collector's culture is insane to me too, because we've never had more collector's items out there, right? But like, collector's items are only like collectible if you have somebody who wants that collector item. And it's rare, but there are just collectible items everywhere. They're all over the place. You couldn't possibly collect all of one thing because there's just hundreds of thousands of collector's items to the point where it defeats the purpose of the collecting items, you know? Now we're doing cereal. Like, this can't possibly be an investment, you know? This can't possibly, like, go up in value. There's just too much shit out there, you know? I don't know. That's my thought process on it.
Yeah, especially stuff that's literally perishable.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Eventually it's gonna start getting very gross. Nobody's gonna wanna eat it.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the most valuable collector's items out there are not things that were marked collector's items.
Correct.
They were things like Star Wars toys, Transformers, like things that were just things, and now you can't get them. Like, nobody in their right mind 50 years from now is going to want the limited edition collector's bobblehead of Marcus from the Borderlands 2 box set that I got. You know, nobody wants that.
Right.
Nobody's ever going to pay for that. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, these things marked collector's items aren't collector's items. They're never going to be collector's items, you know?
They're just items.
They're just items. They're just junk. Yeah. Okay, you've got... Well, I've only got one left. I'm just going to do my last
just
one.
Do it. Just do it.
Get it out of the way. Because Send we have Jesus. Covered all things Skull and Bones.
Oh, God. Oh, I was hoping you had this one.
Of course I have this one.
You know what this one is.
I
go ahead.
I can't not have this one. So... We recently have gotten a release date, a release window for Skull and Bones, finally. This is the, in case you're wondering, in case for some reason you're wondering what Skull and Bones is, it is the games of service pirate game that Ubisoft is making that has been in development for like 10 years. I think 7 years at this point. It was announced at like 2017.
Yeah, and it was initially conceptualized as an expansion for Black Flag.
For Black Flag, yep.
So, yeah. So basically, yeah, almost 10 years. I think Black Flag was 2014.
Yeah. So, Skull and Bones was supposed to come out late this year. They have recently said that it will be coming out sometime between January and March of 2024, so that's next year. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know, man. As a person who has been both excited and not excited for this game multiple times over the course of its 10-year development, I have a hard time believing it's going to come out ever. Like, and again, hypothetically, I may or may not have been involved in a beta of Skull and Bones and actually found it very fun and enjoyable, but like I think they're so gun shy to have this not make the money back that they've retained it so many times that it can't possibly make the money back.
No.
And it's like, at this point, just release it and let the market do what it's gonna do. You know what I mean? Because I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I was in a beta. There has been an open beta. There's been an open beta for it. So we'll just assume that that's what I was in.
Oh, I hear lawyers knocking at my door.
I'll just assume. Everybody just assumed that I was in the open beta recently. This is a fully playable game. It is a fully playable game. It is fully realized. It's fully rendered. And it is not bad. Is it what everybody wants? No. I can assure you it is not what everybody wants, especially if they sell this thing for a premium $70 price tag, which, being Ubisoft, they most certainly are going to sell this for a $70 premium price tag and then have all sorts of in-game bullshit, because they already had that in the beta that I may or may, that I definitely played in, but just recently. It's done. It's been done. It's been done. I played it. There was no bugs. It played better than Starfield did. In beta, both times I played it. I mean, the one time I played it. It played better than Starfield, without a doubt. Bug-free. Great game for what it's trying to do. It's not going to be what everybody wants, because I think a lot of people wanted the sword fighting and the swashbuckling, and that's just not there. It's a ship-to-ship combat game. That's what it is. That's what it is. Like, just... own it, guys. That's what it is. But you have to release it. You're never going to make money off of it if you don't release it, period. Like, it just needs to come out at this point, you know?
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with that, is I feel like if they would have left it be what it was in its release state, let's say, fuck, at this point, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not garnering any more enthusiasm or demand this much longer in for something that, let's be real, it's a live service, so they're going to be updating and changing and doing constantly anyways. They're just adding more development cost.
Yeah.
Unless it's like an intentional thing that they know it's going to do bad and they're expecting it to do bad so they can write it off as a loss for taxes or something.
At this point, we're so far past that, you know. Personally, I think they're going to go about releasing this wrong. After playing it, here's what I would say. I would say this game should not be a premium game. It should be a free-to-play game. And it should have all your little microtransaction bullshit in it. And I think people will come to it. I think there'll be plenty of people who go, I want the swashbuck. Like, I think people are looking at it as a premium game, so they want everything, right? They want all the things pirate in it. They want a full competitor to Sea of Thieves. That's what they're looking for, right? And this isn't it. I mean, it's going to be a pirate game? Yes. Is it going to be an open world pirate game? Yes. Is it going to have multiplayer? Yes. It's not a competitor to Sea of Thieves. It's just not. Like, it doesn't have the swashbuckling. It doesn't have a lot of that stuff. It's very much rooted in the ship-to-ship combat, which is fun. It is really good ship-to-ship combat. Like, I'm going to say that right now, guys. Like, as much as you want to shit in Skull and Bones, hey, even Neil, as much as you want to shit on Skull and Bones, the ship-to-ship combat here is legitimately enjoyable. Legitimately enjoyable. I truly found it really fun to, like, just battle my ships, to upgrade my ships. The grind was a little ridiculous. I'm going to say that right now. But, like, the actual core combat was just fun and really good. But that's what it is. And I think a lot of people want it to be more than that. And I think that comes from a $70 price tag that everybody's expecting, right? I think if you release this thing free to play, nobody gets mad at you because it's a free to play game. You know, right. Release it, or I'll tell you what they should do. Release it like maybe $50 and then put it in Game Pass, put it in Ubisoft Plus, you know, those subscriptions. And then you've kind of got that free to play, even though it's not sort of feel. And I bet you'd be just fine. But like that premium price tag with all the microtransactions is going to kill this fucking thing right out of the gate. It really is. Because for you to be asking that much money of us, you've got to give us the world, and you're not giving us the world. You're giving us fine game. I'm not saying it's not good, but you're not giving us the world. You're just giving us a ship-to-ship combat, an open-world ship-to-ship multiplayer combat game, which I'm really interested in, but it is not going to get people off the couches for $70 plus extra. And those people who do get off the couch to spend that much are going to be upset.
I'll tell you what, I've never been more hyped for a game that I don't give a single solitary shit about. Because, I mean, it's funny because, like, I'm only half joking. Because at this point, I just want this shit to come out. I've said this. I've literally been saying this for years. But I want this game to come out because I'm just that curious to what the fuck is worth this amount of time. And especially given the fact that we've been on the precipice of launch multiple times.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. We've been on the precipice of launch many times, and this just needs to be released. Again, hypothetically, if I hadn't played in this last open beta and I had maybe played in some more technical betas beforehand that were invitation only and I'm covered by NDA on, and it was still ready for release then, and it still had less bugs than Starfield did, what are we doing? Why are we waiting at this point? The game is what it is, and, like, there's no amount... Like, you can't make this game a swashbuckling game. You know? Like, you can't do that. Like, then you're gonna... It's gonna be a train wreck. So just release it. I feel like they keep doing these betas to get people to, like, change their opinions on it, you know? So, like, they let people in, they play it, they go, this is really good ship combat. Then they release previews. IGN did a preview that was, like, a glowing review of it, basically. Which I agree with most of what IGN said. I agree with most of it. But IGN, I think that's almost like they're trying to prepare people that it's not a swashbuckling game. Man, people are going to be mad about that. They just are. You're going to have to deal, you know? All right, I am done. You may move on.
All righty here. So let's run down the line of things. One that's kind of interesting here, Halo Infinite is kind of having a bit of a resurgence, weirdly enough. So with the launch of Season 5, a bunch of information has come out. well, none of it's super official, but the launch of Season 5 has brought double the active player count on Steam. Which is insane. Now
that is crazy.
To be fair, double can mean a lot of things. When you only have 10 people playing the game, kicking it up to 20 doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. But at the same time, the active player count, I'm not quite sure what it was. But there's another interesting little bit of information. Now, this is mostly rumors, but 343 is apparently developing the next campaign for the next Halo game.
Okay.
Interestingly, and rather expectedly, it's going to be built in Unreal Engine. I mean, we talked about this with Cyberpunk. We talked about it when we went in depth in Halo Infinite. You cannot build an engine for a game while you are building the game that the engine is for. It just does not work like that. Straight up and down.
Okay. So I'll keep it short, because I think we're starting to run a little bit long on this show that has no topic. This is such a fucking fold, right? For 343. Because 343 originally released Infinite and basically said this was the last Halo game. We're just going to keep adding to this one. For the foreseeable future. Yeah. Remember that? That was the thing. We're just going to keep putting stuff. That's why it was called Infinite, was that we're just going to keep adding to it. So not only have we retired from that model, so your Infinite, which was the ultimate one-time purchase of Halo, is out of there. You're making another game. But that game is not going to be made on the engine you built specifically for Halo and used once. So...
Yeah.
This is the biggest botch, in my opinion, that 343 is still even doing Halo. Like, they shouldn't have anything to do with Halo. They shouldn't... Infinite should have been the last straw. Xbox should have taken this away from them and given it to a different company, one of the many thousands of companies in their arsenal. Hell, give it to the fucking people that make fucking Call of Duty. Like... You own them
at this
now.
Point.
Fuck. They're doing a better shooter than you do. Like, just give it to them. The resurgence thing confuses me, especially given this information. I think people would be more upset with it, not less upset with it to play it. But this is just an absolute botch. The fact that 343 is allowed to continue to make these games, like, every Halo fan should be upset about that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there were rumors floating around that after Infinite that 343 was going to be taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, Microsoft was just like, no, they're not going anywhere. Yeah, there were petitions, but Microsoft's like, no, they're not going anywhere. Fine, if that's the case, if that's what they want to do, they leaned on the excuse of the building of the engine while they're doing the game. Fine, I'll go with that. That's okay. That said... If they're using Unreal Engine and they can't get their poop in a group, pull the plug. And I think there's a lot of people out there that'll agree with me.
I mean, what was your excuse for 5? Because that was a shit show, too. I think that this is more evidence of Microsoft being too big to fail when people are like, please take them off of it. And they're like, no, it's going to be 343. They don't care. They made 343 to do Halo. They're going to have them do Halo, whether it's shitty or good. They don't give a shit because they own all the studios. They just don't care. They don't care anymore, you know?
So moving right along.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo has apparently began scrubbing YouTube of the original Nintendo Switch reveal trailer. The only reason speculated for this is that they may be preparing for the announcement of the new Nintendo Switch console, which is supposed to come theoretically late spring next year. So, I mean, maybe possibly they could be preparing for that.
I don't think it's next year. I keep telling everybody. I really don't think it's next year. It's going to be early 25. It really is. They're not going to want to compete with anything.
Honestly, at this point, I don't know why they wouldn't try to launch in the holiday season.
Because they don't like to.
I mean, I know they don't like to do certain things like that, but I feel like with everything going on, especially the turmoil with Microsoft and Sony, I mean, just being like, hey guys, don't forget we're here too. I don't know. I feel like it might give them a boost.
But I guess. I think it's. I still feel like they really were. They like to do things they're successful with. And they were really successful with the Switch launch being an April launch. And I feel like that's what they're going to try and do again.
Yeah. So, there was an interview with one of the lead designers for Skyrim, and they talked about a whole bunch of stuff about the game and Bethesda and everything like that. But one little, interesting bit of information came out, which, kind of not surprised at all. And I think we just kind of, in fact, we have speculated about this for a while. Apparently Todd Howard only revealed that Elder Scrolls 6 was in development because everybody was pissed about everything going on with Fallout 76 and everything.
I
believe the phrase that was used was everybody had pitchforks and torches.
This is kind of bullshit though, because Elder Scrolls 6 was announced at the E3 show that 76 was announced at, like the same one. That's where they did that stupid teaser trailer of the Elder Scrolls landscape. It's in a show, you know?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on, like, that's just what this individual had said. I do know that whenever everybody found, like, there was a lot of rumors about it being a live service before it was officially announced.
But it was announced at a live service too, so.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, that was when we were at the peak of when somebody said live service, it was like a toxic word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like now it's been a bit more normalized. I mean, still not my bag, but you know, it's people don't get torches and pitchforks anytime somebody says live service game so much anymore. But yeah, interesting little bit. I just felt a little bit of validation with.
Yeah, I don't know. I still feel like this was just kind of like another way for him to make an excuse, you know, for why Elder Scrolls 6 isn't here, you know. But honestly, if Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be anything like Starfield, I don't want anything to do with it.
That's fair.
Skyrim's my last. I'm done. Like I don't. Because if that's the direction they're going in, if they're going to try to make it even more linear, like, I don't want that. I don't want what they did with Starfield in my games. Like, Starfield really was, like, peak and then I'm out, you know? And I don't think that, like, I don't want that. I'm never going to go back to Starfield. Whereas I still think about going back to Skyrim and what I'm going to do the next time. Never going to go back to Starfield. So, like, I feel like if that's the direction they're going with the next Elder Scrolls game, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with it, you know?
Yeah, I definitely don't blame you. So, I got two more.
Okay.
I always try to save a fun one for last.
Yay.
And we got this other one, though, that's really... the curtain has been pulled back more with the whole Unity install fee situation. Have you heard about this?
A little bit of it. Go ahead.
So, apparently multiple individuals within Unity told the higher-ups that the whole install fee thing was going to be an absolutely horrible idea, and it wasn't going to go over very well. However, the higher-ups did claim that it was just blown out of proportion and that it was a move that was really driven by shareholders. Shocker. But the actual initial move for doing this move over for the install base and the install fee was early talks of an implementation for a mobile ad platform that was going to be owned by Unity called Iron Source. And apparently what was going to happen was if you used any other ad platform, you would have to pay the install fee. However, if you used Iron Source and gave them a cut of your revenue for your ads in your mobile games or any other games that you have out there, then they would waive the install fee.
I see.
So it's
manufactured blackmail, basically.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, is evil shit being evil? I think that I had heard some of that. I think that, this Unity thing. I mean, the one CEO guy has already quit because of it or got fired or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps getting worse with that shit. And it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. If you like out there like a game on Unity, man, get it now. That's all I'm saying. Get it now.
Yeah.
Because it probably ain't going to be around.
So the last one, kind of a fun one. I mean, a shitty one. We talked a little bit about it. I don't know if it's going to make into like an opener or anything like that. But that Five Nights at Freddy's movie came out. To anybody who is considering watching it, watch it as a movie that you are going to chastise the whole time. You will have fun if you watch it like that. What's very interesting about that is, I don't know if you yourself or anybody who may be listening, watching anything like that, whenever the Five Nights at Freddy's games came out, they were really huge on YouTube, and there are a couple, YouTubers in the movie. In fact, MatPat, game theory guy, actually plays a waiter at one of the at a restaurant in one of the scenes. Very fun little nods. But apparently Markiplier was also supposed to be in the movie as well. However, he wasn't able to do that because he is actually making a movie about an indie game called Iron Lung. And it actually conflicted with the scheduling on that. I believe that was in one of the little newsy bits that we had a little over a year ago at this point, that he was going to be executive producing this movie and I believe directing and starring in it as well, if I remember correctly. But very interesting that even the video game scene is starting to turn in the way of like indie directors stuff like that, so to speak. Very interesting. I feel like video game movies are, I wouldn't say hitting their stride, but it's like a baby deer trying to stand up. They're getting a little less wobbly every single time.
I think they're definitely standing. They're starting to do a little trot. I mean, you got Mario out there. You got, you know, a lot of success from video game movies right now.
Except this one. Fuck this Five Nights at Freddy's. In the box office, but damn. It is not a good movie, and it is notably not a horror movie.
I am surprised you didn't use the Nintendo one I sent you, so I guess I'll do that one.
Oh, yeah!
Go ahead. So Doug Bowser was asked why Nintendo does not have unions, and he said because everybody's happy here.
Everybody's happy here. Ask an employee. They'll tell you how happy they are. You're happy, right?
Well, that's the thing. He didn't say ask employees because there are reports on IGN who did this report to the contrary, basically saying that, like, employees have said it's terrible there. It's not fun. It's an awful place to work. His reasoning was not go ask employees. It was we don't have a high turnover. People don't go to other places. So,
yeah, it definitely rang of the It definitely rang of somebody who is giving the employee the hint, hint, nudge, nudge sort of situation. Yeah. There's a correct answer in this.
Yeah. I think there's also something to be said about them not having a high turnover. They're Nintendo. So, like, you put up with a lot more shit at a company when you can say you work at Nintendo than somewhere else. You know what I mean? So, like, just because somebody's not quitting your job or getting fired often does not mean that they're happy or you have good, you know, working conditions at all. It just means that for whatever reason, people don't want to leave your place. And that is probably because you're Nintendo. So that's not a valid reason. It was a terrible reasoning by Doug Bowser, personally.
I feel like there's lots of jobs out there mm-hmm. will tout, oh, well, we have a low turnover because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And there may be a number of, if you walked up to a person who worked at a place, they may give you a different reason. Person A may say a different reason other than person B as to why it is that they're still at right. the job.
Right.
It could be anything from the scheduling just works out perfect for my life, or I just need a paycheck to get by, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, it kind of removes that consideration mm-hmm. of that from everything. So maybe it's a trash place to work, but compared to other developers, maybe they pay really well.
Yeah, or maybe they got a good benefit package.
Exactly.
Or maybe everybody's there for 5 years can use them as a reference going somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, it is fucking Nintendo. So, like, I'm sure that, like, being a developer at Nintendo for a period of time is going to open a lot of doors for you in the game developer industry. It does not mean that people are happy there and aren't, like, you know, being taken advantage of, you know? So, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. All right, well, that's it. Let's do the plugs and be done.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
That brings us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen, and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug?
Absolutely. I'm going to plug what I be plugging all the time. That is what we've already alluded to before, our god-awful endless playthrough of Redfall. I do think I'm going to be sad when we're done. I honestly, man, like...
We'll find another game, a better game, seriously.
No, like, I'm definitely ready for something else. But this game, every time that we've played, I have laughed... and enjoyed myself.
It is a fun one.
The amount of stupid horse shit in this game. And just the bullshit that we've done and said and everything, more so than a ton of other games that I've played. But yeah, we're still doing that for God knows how long. It seems like goddamn forever. But it is still going. Redfall down. Someday it's going to be over. But I think we still have. I think I had said one of the most recent episodes that either came out or is coming out, we're going to be doing this into the fucking new year. I feel
without a doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that we're going to be doing this into the new year. We are doing Redfall Down. That airs Saturdays. I'd also urge you to go, if you're a TTRPG person, to go check out our Sunfish Sitting There playthrough.
That was also fun shenanigans.
Real fun shenanigans. On the TTRPG front, I've got to say, please, if you want a fun new system that's only $6, head on over to itch.io, type in the search bar single mod, you will find my game, it is only $6, purchase it, and have fun. Other than that, for the gaming side, we're chugging along in OMGM, we've got Prelude going as well, and I am still endeavoring to do some reviews here and there. We will be coming out with at least one new series once we get enough episodes in the bank. Me and Philbilly are playing the Baldur's Gate 3 and also role-playing our characters in it, which is very interesting to play through. But other than that, you know, that's it. We've got another episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actual play coming this Thursday. Really excited to do that. And you guys can contact us on Facebook at OldManGamingDH, on Twitter at OldManGaming9. You can join our Discord. Links in the description below. Influence this and all of our shows from there. Horrible Game Awards are coming up. If you've got a game you want to nominate and you did not get into the committee.
That's what I was fucking forgetting to do. God damn it.
If you did not get into the committee, please, by all means, nominate it in the chat of Discord or DM me. And I will count your vote for nomination purposes. The nomination period will end on the 24th of November, and then there will be a 2-week period where you can vote. So we're hitting December, which is my busy time. All right, so that being said, you guys keep watching. We'll keep making them. See you guys next time. Bye-bye. Pose.
By the way, that haunted house restaurant up in where Lakewood, I think it is.
Okay.
Ugh.
What was ugh about
it's,
it?
It's not good. The food is not good. So
you're expecting a haunted house to serve good food?
No. So
I feel like that's akin to a gas station.
So here's the thing. I had high hopes for it because it was in the old melt that shut down. Mm. The whole thing was, it was the atmosphere. Everything was themed after like a haunted house. Like, it was really fun when you walked in. It looked like you were getting ready to go into a movie theater. The host stand was behind that. And there was actually like people kind of wandering around in like costumes and doing things. Of course, nothing crazy while somebody's eating food because, you know, you're not trying to fucking kill people while they're eating. But it was really fun, and they had like horror movies and stuff playing on all the TVs in there. So we got in there, and I had seen that there was some, I forget the guy's name, but he's like some big celebrity chef who was like on Iron Chef and everything like that, who made the menu. So I'm like, oh, fucking K, let's go. And we got, we ordered like some chicken nachos first and foremost to get everything all set up. And it was like Thai chili chicken with like what, you know, usual nacho things. And I noticed looking at the menu, everything had a maple something associated with it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, I don't know. It maybe makes sense. So the chicken for our nachos was covered in this maple chili dressing. And there was like no like salt to it. It was just like you dunked chicken breast in like candy apple.
Oh.
And like all of the food, like all of like chicken sandwiches, burgers, even fucking lamb, rack of lamb that was somebody who came with us got, was all had just like a sweet maple something all over it. And it's like, oh, it's the theme. It's the Halloween's all about candy and fun and stuff like that. So we wanted the flavor of sweetness to go through everything. I understand that sweet and savory is a thing. I went to culinary school. I'm very aware of the concept. Not every goddamn motherfucking thing has to be sweet. And I'm just like, I'm dodging food on this menu left and right because every single thing has like, I'm like, and then I found a, shrimp and salmon Alfredo pasta. And I'm reading through the ingredients. I'm like, they don't put like brown sugar in here somewhere or anything like that. Well, sure enough that the salmon is crusted with like a honey something or other. I'm like, I guess I can fucking deal with that. Whatever. And I get my food and it is fine, but my salmon is absolutely cremated. Yeah. Like salmon jerky. Everybody's food was just there. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, I really hope. Like, I can't say anything bad about this because this is Kayla's big thing that she was looking forward to for her birthday. So
this,
I'm like,
was the birthday that this was the reservations thing. Had to be made.
Yes. Like, I see. A month and a half, 2 months in advance. So I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm over here. Like, do I just box this up and try to find a way to go to Taco Bell on the way home? And then, in the end, everyone's like, how's your food? And I'm like, but thank God when we went to leave, Kayla was like, well, I'm glad we went. It was an experience. I'm like, oh, thanks, sweet God. The food was fucking terrible. Drinks were good. Drinks
well,
were fine.
Good. Well, but, yeah, I mean, sugar and drinks is always going to. Yeah, sugar and drinks is always going to be good. You're never going to go wrong with sugar and drinks. Sugar on chicken, you could definitely go wrong with sugar on chicken. Sugar and, I mean, I do put some sugar in some of my recipe. I've got a really good spaghetti sauce where I put brown sugar into it. But, like, I mean, like, it's not like it's so much that it would be, like, overpowering.
Candied,
you know?
Bacon is one thing.
Right.
Candied bacon or, like, a grilled pineapple slice on a burger. Ugh. Like, not my thing. Definitely not my thing.
Yeah.
But I understand it. I accept it. It makes sense to somebody who likes that sort of thing. Just covering nachos in maple syrup with some spice I don't know. Like, how are you a celebrity chef?
Look, I'm going to say right now, I can't think of anything more miserable than a Halloween-themed restaurant. Like, I just can't. Like candy on the food aside, I do not want to eat my food watching people get slashed to shit in horror movies. Like, I can't think of a type of movie that makes me want to eat less. Like, that's fair. Like seriously.
The whole time where we were sitting up against the wall, there was a giant 7 foot tall fucking Pennywise.
Yeah.
Just in the corner staring at me. I'm like,
I don't want to eat that.
The girl from The Ring was just crawling around, and there was a point where she like came up to our table and just stood there at the end of the table and stared at us for like 3 minutes straight. And it's just like, can I get you something? What's up?
What's going what's on? I just, course, I just want to eat.
Finger at one of us like, okay, cool.
Here's your pierogies, and please enjoy H.G. Geiger's Aliens. Like, I don't think so. Oh, that's funny.